The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
So at 10:30 last night, Tina Peters, another guy with her that's here, his house got raided, four children, and his house got everything taken, all electronics and everything. Last night when I got to the hotel, I was attacked, and
we started receiving credible threat warnings about 2 weeks ago. So we detected disruptors inside trying to get people ejected, really, really radical folks outside trying to penetrate. We've got folks exchanging badges in the parking lot, press badges specifically. We've identified those agitators and provocateurs by photo imagery, validated their social media platforms. We've got attempts to take your personal information by some of these folks shoulder surfing. So if you're on your cell phone or your laptop, they're coming behind you and taking imagery, taking pictures. The big end game is to discredit all the legislators who have had the courage to be here to listen, to try to hear what was presented. They're obviously trying to subdue the message that that Mike's trying to get out. So this is a typical insurrection type activities.
That's how the third and final day of Mike Lindell's cyber symposium. That's how it kicked off earlier today, just a couple of hours ago. Lindell saying that this crew that came in from Mesa County, Colorado, that one of the reps there, his house was raided, and then Lindell himself attacked on his way back to his hotel room outside the elevator. And then this other guy talking about how the symposium itself has been infiltrated by all of these thugs that don't want this message to go out and want to intimidate these legislators into submission to keep them quiet. Insurrectionists, if you want to find the real insurrectionists, well, there's plenty to be found in this venue in South Dakota. We'll get to that and much more here in just a moment. We welcome you to one of the fastest moving hours in broadcasting. This is The Trumpet Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Flurry, and we really appreciate you joining our growing audience. We're thankful, too, for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on that platform that takes the live stream, the audio live stream of this program out every day at this time, wherever your time zone might be. That's CRN Talk Radio, Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3. Goes into 11 million homes. Of course, if you want to get to the video, the live video presentation, that's offered exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com, and just put in a /live, and it'll take you right to the live stream and also all the podcasts that we post just a couple of hours after each show every day. Of course, if you go to the website, just the homepage of the website, thetrumpet.com, a few minutes before the live stream starts, there's always going to be a big banner that takes you right over to the live stream presentation. On today's show, we'll see how I've got a few more money quotes, you could say, from Malachi's message. Hopefully we'll get some time to go through that, but I think I will revisit in this first segment, in case it does go long like yesterday's did, I think I will revisit this article that my father wrote in the February issue. This is the one on the China threat, and I mentioned this yesterday, that his personal, the article that appears just before the China threat is on Barack Obama, the title being Barack Obama in Bible Prophecy, an electrifying article. And really, I mean, if the cyber evidence isn't as strong as some were hoping coming out of this symposium. They had about 3 hours yesterday where they were scrolling through some things that I think most people didn't understand. And others who did were a little frustrated by that it wasn't better managed, that it wasn't more organized. But if that's not as strong, the evidence that it goes direct to the CCP in China, well, go back to this February issue and see where the biblical prophetic evidence takes you to directly. And that would be right back to Barack Obama. Here they are, this deep state, this corrupt DOJ, looking for any and every trespasser that they can find from January 6th. What, 550 arrests? And they're trying to say they're insurrectionists. Some of them that were just invited right on into the Capitol. Even as you have violent thugs intimidating people, chasing people down, spying, snooping on them, in the hope, I'm sure, that they can target them, that they can persecute them with these weaponized government agencies. Speaking of January 6th, by the way, these prosecutors, they're having a hard time explaining before courts, before judges, why there were so many law enforcement officials that just ushered people right on into the Capitol on January the 6th. This one U.S. prosecutor, he's quoted in Becker News. It says, although we are aware that we possess some information that the defense may view as supportive of arguments that law enforcement authorized defendants to enter the restricted grounds, e.g. images of officers hugging or fist bumping rioters, posing for photos with rioters, and moving bike racks, we are not in a position to state whether we have identified all such information. Well, we just can't. We haven't identified all this footage or these pictures, but we understand that there are defendants who are saying, yeah, the police were fist bumping us. They were moving barriers out of the way. They were opening doors for us. It was a total setup. A total setup because they needed this narrative to try to shut down the discussion. Discussions like what's happening in South Dakota this week. Mike Lindell, for all of his faults, he's not the best orator in history, but he certainly has some pretty good presenters at this 3-day symposium, and he's drawing attention to something that most people won't even talk about, even in the media. If they do write about it, they're not going to show footage, but if they do write about it, well, they're just going to mock it and ridicule it in most cases. Seth Keschel, he gave a brilliant presentation toward the end of the day yesterday. He used to serve in the Army. He's leading a movement now with one of the other individuals that's gotten quite a lot of time at the symposium as well. I forget his name. Clements, I think, is his name. The attorney. In any event, these two are pushing for more state audits around the country. All states, that's what they want ultimately, because they, well, like Lindell has been saying, the cheating is all over the place, and it doesn't just affect the race for president. You're talking about congressional seats and senators. Seth Keschel said earlier today that were it not for the cheating, there would be 5 more Republican senators in the Senate right now. 5 more. I mean, here it is, just split right down the middle, 50-50. And you've got all of these weak Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney. They're joining with the radicals, spending trillions of dollars on bills they haven't even read, on bills that haven't even been released. They're hopping right on board with it. They're all for it because, well, Joe Obama's behind it. And you think they would be fighting for these Republican seats that were stolen from them. And then the Republicans would have a pretty strong majority. But no, they're too weak. They're too weak. They don't have the courage. What's one of the points that my father makes in Malachi's message? Spiritual courage. He's talking to God's people, the church, of course, primarily. But he said it's spiritual courage that we need most of all. I think I have it later in my notes, if I can just quote it to you directly. Spiritual courage, that's what's lacking. That's what was lacking in the seventh era of God's church. It says here, in the Laodicean churches, spiritual courage may be the greatest need. Without it, the other virtues are of little value. He says God's people can't cower in fear and still grow in God's love. God says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And then my father went on to say a little bit later, we need leaders in God's church who are willing to die for God. We need leaders who are willing to die for a righteous cause. Now take that and apply it to what's happening in the United States of America. As I say, there's all kinds of parallels that you can see between what happened in spiritual Israel there in the late 80s, early 1990s, and what's happening in Manasseh today. So this captain, Seth Keschel, he's going through all of these statistical anomalies. Donald Trump has praised this individual a few weeks ago because he's going through all of these counties that President Trump won. Every reason, every proof that you need to know from a statistical standpoint. Again, you can't look at this necessarily and say, well, this is hard evidence, but you compile all of this evidence, all of these statistics, you go through the logic, and you see it's impossible. There is no way. There is no way, considering the tepid support for Biden and all these other communities, even these communities surrounding big cities. And yet, the ones that they needed the most, Fulton County, in and around Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Detroit, of course, Wayne County there in Detroit, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and of course, Maricopa County in Arizona. Listen to Captain Keschel yesterday as he talked about the bellwether counties, as they're called, scattered throughout the United States. Clip 7.
There are 19 counties since 1980 that have been perfect in aligning with the winner of our presidential elections. In 2016, President Trump carried all 19 of these counties. You can see most of them are in your working class states in the Northeast. There's also 4 of them in Wisconsin. And President Obama carried all 19 in both of his campaigns all the way back to 1980. They've aligned with the winner. President Trump carried 18 of the 19 in 2020, with the exception of one in Washington, which I can assure you, and for those of you in the Washington delegation here, you already know Clallam County, Washington has some issues. So President Trump, once again, carries the bellwether counties of 2020 and somehow has not won this election.
So since 1980, he says there, all 19 of these counties go with the winner, including what happened in 2016 when Donald Trump won. And this time around, well, he wins 18 out of the 19, and the one that he didn't win, there was probably cheating involved. So he takes all the bellwether counties, and yet somehow Joe Biden reeled in the most votes in the history of the United States as far as presidential elections are concerned. And as you heard yesterday from Steve Bannon, if that's the case, well, they'd be handing everything over, saying, here you go, here you go. I hope you enjoy going through the numbers again, because we absolutely crushed you. It's just the opposite, isn't it? They're beating up people outside of elevators to try to keep audits from going forward, to try to keep discussion like this from going out. They want it shut down. They just want to shut it down and intimidate the few, the very few courageous legislators there are that would go and actually listen to what's being said in Sioux City, South Dakota. Listen to Seth Keschel as he talks about the bellwether states in 2020. Clip 8.
Here's Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida. Since 1896, these 4 states have been won by the same candidate on 13 occasions, and on all 13 occasions, they've gone to the winner of the election, whether elected for the first time or reelected. President Trump carried all 4 of these states in 2016 and carried all 4 again in 2020. So why does this matter? Those four states represent a strong coalition of voters because our founders created the Electoral College system to encourage coalition building. Otherwise, we would just be one giant electoral map between New York City, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Los Angeles looking for a popular vote win. These four states have urban, suburban, rural, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, every sort of voter demographic that you could possibly look for. And that shows that President Trump had a strong grasp on the overall electorate.
Donald Trump took in all four of those states. And if you remember back on November 3rd, I think this is also true for Ohio, but certainly for Florida. Florida, these radicals, the communists, were banking on Florida. They thought they had Florida in the bag. But Florida, just the ordinary voters in Florida, even with the cheating, and there was cheating in Florida too. But even with the cheating, the support for Donald Trump was so overwhelming that the communists could not win the state with cheating. And then when Ohio swings in Donald Trump's favor, you throw in Iowa, North Carolina, of course, they drug that out. They were trying to cheat there in Charlotte. They couldn't quite get, and he probably, Seth Keschel says that Trump won North Carolina by 5-8%, not by 1%. So as I say, the cheating was just rampant. It was all over the place. In any event, you don't get Florida, you don't get Ohio, you got to shut everything down and try to string together a number of states through the Rust Belt and even Arizona for good measure if you're going to be able to win this. Georgia too. So what do? They shut it all down, 10, 11 p.m. at night, November 3rd. And then 5-6 hours later when everything switched back on, a tremendous spike for Joe Biden, the most popular president in the history of the United States of America. The fix was in. The fix was in from the very beginning. After they lost Florida, they had to go to Plan B, which was even more outlandish. Georgia, really? Joe Biden, just the Biden who never campaigned, he's going to pick up a red state in Georgia and a mostly red state in Arizona? That was their Plan B. Listen again to Keschel talk about how that, you know, when you have all these gains in the House and Senate, then how does the president, Republican gains, I mean, how does the top of the ticket lose in such a, well, almost in a landslide? The way they cheated for Biden, he was up to what on the Electoral College, I think 306 or something. Here's Captain Keschel again yesterday, clip 9.
And then for the sake of including the Democratic Party here in a landslide recently, you have Obama's large 2008 win, 7% popular vote win, brought 21 House seats for Democrats. So let's talk about 2020. How do we think? So 306 electoral votes is pretty impressive. I mean, especially given the level of polarization that we have today, it's not bad. How do we think the Democrats did in the U.S. House in 2020? Minus 13. Not one single Republican House incumbent was defeated. So everyone showed up to vote Republican down ticket, but make sure we put a new president in.
They all showed up to vote Republican, except for the Republican who generated the support for many of those congresspeople running for office, Donald Trump. Another statistical anomaly. In this next clip, he talks about counties, just strong, dark blue counties that have supported Democrats for decades. And he shows how that the Biden campaign generated just minimal increase in support from those dark blue counties until you get to the swing counties or the counties in the swing states, the urban counties surrounding the big cities in those states that they had to get. Notice this comparison. This is clip 10.
These are some Democrat strongholds throughout our country. Cuyahoga County, anybody from Ohio? This is Cleveland's county here. Okay, then we have Bronx and Manhattan, New York, and we have Cook County, Illinois, Chicago. This is percentage of votes gained from 2016. This gives you an example of how we have a very wide variance of support for Biden based in the major metros across the country. I could show you the same for Indianapolis, Baltimore, Boston. We have 4% Democrat gain in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, less than 1% in Bronx, 4% in Manhattan, and 7% in Chicago. Now, of course, 7% in Chicago is still a pretty decent amount of votes. What do you think I'm about to show you next? Because this is blocking something out right here. Okay. I'm going to show you the four major Democrat counties in Metro Atlanta, Cobb, Gwinnett, Fulton, and DeKalb, compared to these four. You're going to see there's a lot of motivation in Georgia. So there's no matching trend here at all. And these counties are already large counties. This isn't like a brand new county that hardly had any voters and now all of a sudden it's populated. Gwinnett County is a 46% gain for Biden. Fulton County, of course, is very high as well. We've seen what happened in Fulton County on election night. This is quite a disparity.
So these other Democrat strongholds, 1% increase over 2016, 4% until you get to those counties around Atlanta. 40% increase. Where did they come from? Where did all these new voters come from? Boy, they were motivated. This is Stacey Abrams at work. Really, really, Barack Obama, as I said yesterday. You go back to this issue of the Trumpet magazine. Barack Obama in prophecy. My father, this is from February. My father says, Barack Obama's presence in Joe Biden's election campaign never received the scrutiny it deserved to most people, especially the mainstream media, which adores Obama. I mean, you saw that over the weekend. They just adore him. Dancing with celebrities. They swoon. It says it wasn't a concern for the media, but prophetically, it's a huge concern. Antiochus was active and he was pursuing his great goal to change America. Oh, yes, Antiochus was active all year last year and before. Fluff was out working with Zuckerberg, getting all that money funneled into Fulton County and other deep, dark blue counties so that they can manufacture votes. And then coming right down to who the Democrat candidate would be. And the vice president. And you have Obama and his people calling up other candidates like Buttigieg and Klobuchar and saying, hey, you got to get out of the race and then you got to endorse Biden. Biden's the one we've picked. This was all orchestrated by Obama and his people, as was the election steal, as was the pandemic. Look at how the radical left responded to the pandemic. Once they got the signal in March of last year, early on, of course, they were saying it wasn't a big problem, wasn't going to hurt anybody. You had Nancy Pelosi and them partying in the streets of San Francisco, New York, and wherever. But, I mean, when they finally were all on board with this being the pretext needed to unleash tens of millions of mail-in ballots, then they went. They were all in, weren't they? It says here, Barack Obama was the first president in more than a century to take up residence in Washington, D.C. Why? Usually, when they're out of office, usually they leave D.C. If for no other reason, just out of respect for their successor. He's I think, less than 2 miles away from the White House. Has been since 2017. He's running the shadow government there. And now he's the puppet master. Now he's got Biden. And he has no special love for Biden, certainly not the way that Biden believes it is. He's disposable. He's going to be the fall guy. As Barack Obama continues on with his radical transformation, fundamentally transforming the United States of America. This says here, between March and November, Barack Obama and his team campaigned hard for Joe Biden. Not only that, they encouraged voters to vote early and to vote via mail-in ballots. We now know that a lot of the fraud was committed with these mail-in votes. Maybe the symposium should be focusing more on Obama instead of the communist Chinese. I mean, either way, it's a communist attack. But as I mentioned to you yesterday, this was noted by my father after the first day of that symposium, Barack Obama, he's not mentioned once. He's not even in the discussion. And yet for 8 years, he was the radical in chief. He was the chief propagandist in the White House, or the chief communist in the White House. He writes about it in his memoir. Yeah, I really love the Marxist professors. He's a believer. He was mentored by Frank Marshall Davis. He was a communist. And then Obama gets in there and he puts John Brennan over the CIA. He's a communist. And you can look at books like Mark Levin's recent one, American Marxism. Diana West, she's written about all of these communist connections that the Obama people have. There's plenty of others. It says further on in this piece, in the coming weeks and months, expect even more evidence to emerge proving Barack Obama was behind the radical left's attack on the Trump administration and the U.S. electoral system. See, it's the same people. It's the same communist attack. It's inspired by the same spirit coming from the devil. This is Satan's tool. He's trying to blot out Israel. The same movement that went after Donald Trump for 5 years. 5 years. They're the ones that upended the electoral system. Look at the news yesterday about Hunter Biden. On film, and only the Daily Mail will look into this. It wasn't serious as far as Bill Barr was concerned. He had the laptop. He had what the Daily Mail revealed yesterday. Hunter's in the hotel room. He's naked with the prostitute. This is not in 2003 or 4. I mean, they went so far back into Donald Trump's history that you practically went to the last century. This was 2019. This was 2 years ago. Hunter's with the prostitute. He's talking about a drinking binge that he went on in Las Vegas with some shady Russian operatives. Russian, if you can believe it. 2019. Hunter gets into the hot tub. He passes out. He's so drunk, or he's drugged up on cocaine, whatever it is. He wakes up and finds out his laptop has gone missing. So I don't know how many laptops this guy has. He gave two to that computer repair guy in Delaware. Then you got the Russians who stole one. And he admits this to the prostitute. He admits that the laptop was stolen to the prostitute. And you know what else he says to the prostitute, this crack addict? He says, well, yeah, they're going to see I make something like a gazillion dollars. How is he making a gazillion dollars? How is Hunter Biden, the crack, okay, he says he's clean now, but in 2019, 2 years ago, he's a crack addict. How's he making a gazillion dollars? He's making it from the CCP. He's making it from Russia, from Ukraine. You know how he's making it. He's collecting dirty money from all over the world, and he's telling this prostitute, I'm worried that they might use the laptop to blackmail me should my father become president of the United States. In other words, this is exactly the narrative, only it's true. It's exactly the narrative that Obama's people tried to establish about Donald Trump. You can't make this up. Hunter Biden, 2 years ago, talking about what he was doing in 2018 with all these shady Russian operatives. They've got the lap. Do you think the media is concerned about blackmail? Do you think the media is concerned about the CCP blackmailing Tony Fauci or the Biden crime family or Vladimir Putin, the Russians? They got this laptop. Do you think the propagandists in the media are concerned about, wow, this could really compromise our president? Of course not. They're communists too. They're all part of the plot. The coup. The overthrow. I mean, this is really satanic stuff we're talking about here. This is, and again, I go back to Herbert Armstrong, 1980. This is Satan's tool. It's Satan's instrument. And it's been infiltrating the United States since before even World War II. After the war, it made great inroads into the Western system of education, particularly here in the United States. And now it's got control of all the top powers in Washington, all of these government agencies, all of these bureaucrats. You remember a few years ago when they were attacking Donald Trump, and there were lots of conservatives that were saying, you know what, look, it's Comey and those guys at the top. Comey, Brennan, Clapper, I mean, yeah, they're liars. They're corrupt through and through. But the agents, I mean, there's tens of thousands of FBI agents all over the country. Now, these are all good men. It's kind of like what they say today about election officials. I mean, if you're an election official, unless you're a whistleblower like the one in Mesa County, leave her aside. But if you're an election official, of course you can audit yourself. You have integrity. You're not going to lie. You're not going to be motivated by politics. You're not going to put ballots through a machine twice. You're not going to accept fake ballots from these organizations started up by Stacey Abrams and David Fluff and Barack Obama's people. Well, a few years ago, they were saying the ones at the top are corrupt, but you don't hear that so much anymore. Where are the whistleblowers? Where are the agents speaking up saying, do we really need to arrest 550 people? 550 Americans? Do we need to destroy their reputations and their businesses because the Capitol Hill police opened the door and said, yeah, come right on in. Here's a fist bump. Welcome to the Capitol. And then they see what's happening to these people like the Mesa County officials that would say, you know what? Dominion came in May, and they did. They cleared off the logs. They wiped out the history on these computers. They were hiding something. They're covering up their tracks. An official like that comes forward, and what does he get for it? Well, he gets his home raided. And then his children are terrified. I don't know when it happened. Well, I guess Lindell said it was 10:30 last night. So, yeah, usually somewhere around midnight or 6 a.m., that's when the agents decide to show up and pound on the door. They show up with their battering rams. Guns drawn, no doubt. That's just the way they operate. These are the agents at the local level. It's corruption through and through. Communist infiltration. You look at all this. You look at what's happening in South Dakota these last 3 days, and you see that America has no helper. America has no helper. There's people attending that symposium who are understandably frustrated. Look, I mean, I think Mike Lindell probably oversold it a bit, saying that as soon as this is revealed, 9 Supreme Court justices are going to take it and run with it. And now you hear more and more that, look, we've got to get these state legislators going back to their states. And, there's 50 states represented at the symposium. There are state legislators that are answering to the people. The people want things audited. And it's looking now like Texas may come along. Texas! You heard all the chatter before November 3rd. Yeah, I think, look at Beto O'Rourke. He's very popular. I think Texas might swing blue. They just got to get it to go blue once, like they did with Colorado a number of years ago. And then once it's blue, it stays blue. I mean, they know how to keep it blue. Look at this this run for governor in California. If it was a free and fair election, Newsom will be out of there. No problem. You can see it in his interviews. I mean, he just lost it the other day because a reporter was saying, look, we got high taxes. Gas is going up. How are you going to give the ordinary Californian the California dream? And he's upset. He's upset because of all the critics. He wants you to just praise him. I mean, he's got beautiful hair. He just wants praise. He's doing a perfect job. Never mind the facts on the ground. But you see these reports coming out of California. Yeah, there's going to be online this. There's going to be mail in here. There's going to be this kind of ballot harvesting after the fact. You wonder if his opponents stand a chance. Because it is, after all, California. Massive, massive amounts of cheating all over the country. My father says this in the February issue. Imagine how destructive it would be to America if Barack Obama led the nation either directly as president or via a proxy like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris for the next 4 years. I mean, we've gotten it for 7-8 months. Imagine if this were to go on for 4 years. It says, since he left office, the radical left has become much more powerful. Think about the suffocating power of the tech companies, the uncontested supremacy of the radicalized mainstream media, and the rise of hardcore Marxists in the Democratic Party. I mean, in other words, the Democrat Party is so much more radical and extreme than it was even in 2016, if you can believe it. Further on, it says, Barack Obama and his surrogates would have the power to make sure a leader like Donald Trump would never be in power again. America as we know it, a nation underpinned... I want you to listen to this paragraph. I'll back up and read it again. Barack Obama and his surrogates would have the power to make sure a leader like Donald Trump would never be in power again. America as we know it, a nation underpinned by Judeo-Christian values and governed by the rule of law, a nation that respects its forefathers, a nation unique for its God-given power and prosperity, that America would be destroyed. It would be destroyed. Now that right there is why I believe Mike Lindell has come under such a fierce attack. Over 3 days, the computer hacks, and now he's being assaulted outside of his hotel room. The reason for this is because his message, never mind his religion, it probably disagrees with God's truth on a number of ways and areas. But his message essentially is that America is being destroyed. On that point, he is exactly right. He's completely right. But you come to big tech, big media, big Democrat with that message, and you make yourself a target. You make yourself a prey. He gave, by the way, his opening monologue this morning, quite unlike some of the maybe more of the rambling from the two previous days. I felt like it was his best speech yet. And he doesn't speak with notes. That hurts him sometimes. But this morning, following the raid last night in Mesa County, Colorado, following the attack from some Antifa thug last night in his own hotel area, and he gets up this morning. He begins day three. He's on again. He's understandably concerned about the legislators. He's understandably concerned about the audience there because of the insurrectionists in their midst. And he spoke from the heart. He spoke with sincerity. He was genuine. And whatever you think about his abilities to communicate or his background and his educational background, training, whatever, the man's turned his life around, for one. He's a former drug addict, and he's turned his life around and actually become quite successful. And then added to that, he's sacrificed a lot of that success to fight for his country, and he's a courageous man. And he's an energetic man. So good for him. Good for him. Just compare it to Hunter, for example. There's a crack addict who's basically revealed secrets, American secrets, to our foreign adversaries. What a contrast. And then Hunter writes a book about all of this debauchery. And you got Brian Stelter and others in the media saying, I was inspired by this book. It's awesome. It's on. What about on the laptop? No. Well, now that the election's over, I guess I will admit that we probably should have gotten into the laptop before the election. Oh, well, thanks, Brian. Thank you. They're all communist actors. All of them. America is under attack. That's the title of my father's booklet from 2013. It's an attack. It's coming from the devil. My father says here, finally, God is not going to allow Mr. Obama and the radical left to blot out the name of Israel. So we come back to that prophecy in 2 Kings 14, which says that God's not going to allow it. We don't know how the tables are going to turn. We don't know how God's going to flip the switch. There's some pretty compelling presentations, like Captain Keschel, as I played for you earlier. But God's not going to allow this to continue for years to come. He's going to intervene. And if there's another takeaway besides some of these compelling lectures and presentations, if there's another takeaway, as I said earlier, if there's another takeaway from this symposium, it's that, wow, just like it says in 2 Kings 14, there's no help. There's no help. God's going to have to do it. God's going to have to intervene to save America. Look at what it's going up against. I'll just take a little bit of a turn here before we conclude to get back into everyone's favorite subject, the mask madness. Here again, these authoritarians, these communists, speaking for the media, or for the Democrats. They just want this to go on and on. What day are we at? 515, 520 to slow the spread? Listen to this woman, the good doctor over at CNN, I believe it is, from last night, clip one.
The urgency to get the vaccines for younger children is quite extraordinary now. I mean, right now we're entering a period that is arguably the most dangerous time for children during the entire pandemic, because we have the Delta variant. We have 93,000 children who got infected in the last week. More than 200 kids are getting hospitalized every day, and now kids are going back to school.
I don't have all of the hospitalization statistics. But 200 every day in a nation of 330 million, assuming she's telling the truth there. But there have been studies after studies after studies showing that if you're a kid and you get COVID, you're not going to die from it. You're more likely to die from a lightning strike. But there she is. We got to give the kids a jab now. Never mind all these reports. Never mind all of these testimonials, these in some cases deadly reactions to the vaccine. And then now more and more reports coming forward of people that not only get the vaccine and can still get the virus and spread it, but in at least in the case of this one from Changing America, getting the vaccine and then getting COVID and then dying from COVID. This is from Changing America. It says, fully vaccinated man dies of COVID-19, daughter says. He was cautious. This is a man who got the jab. He didn't go out much, so he was obeying lockdown. And whenever he went out, he was wearing a mask. He was doing everything we're supposed to do. If you believe the communists, if you submit to the communists, and he gets COVID and he dies. And you know what one of the subheads says under this article title? It says, doctors said the condition of the father could have been worse if he was not vaccinated at all. You can't make this up. A doctor, some imbecile, coming forward saying that, well, I know that he died, but you know what? It could have been worse had he not gotten the vaccine. Could have been worse than death? Are you for real? Are you being serious? Incredibly, this is what his daughter believes as well. They know, don't they? You don't need a study in this case. You just know because the vaccine is perfect. So if he dies tragically, well, without the vaccine, somehow it would have been a lot worse. It says here, a woman's fully vaccinated father died from COVID-19, with her saying she can't imagine how much more he would have suffered if he had not been given the vaccine. This is crazy, deranged thinking. He would have suffered more. I guess that's how it would have been worse, had he not gotten the vaccine. It says here, initially, she thought her father was experiencing a flare-up of congestive heart failure or a recurring infection. It says, in addition to heart problems, Elizondo had diabetes, making him a greater risk of developing severe COVID-19. Elizondo mostly stayed indoors and wore his mask, Rodriguez said, and not knowing where he got the virus and ultimately messed up his lungs, it says. On Tuesday, Elizondo died after succumbing to long complications related to having COVID-19. According to Jan Peterson, an infectious disease specialist at UT Health, Rodriguez was right in her assessment that her father would have suffered more had he not been vaccinated. Okay, the experts say. Thank you. That's comforting. He still died. Still died of COVID. Still died of COVID after getting the vaccine. But the vaccine is perfect. It's doing its job. Listen to Senator Lindsey Graham. He's another one. Got the vaccine, got COVID. And I mean, it walloped him. This is clip two.
If you haven't been vaccinated regarding the COVID problem, you need to get vaccinated. I've been vaccinated and I got COVID anyway. Couple of really bad days, but I'm doing better, and I feel on the mend, and I'm confident if I hadn't had the vaccine, it'd have been a lot worse.
So here's the new talking point. I got COVID. He doesn't even sound well. It sounds to me like he still needs to be quarantined. He gets walloped. It was really bad. I got the vaccine. I got the COVID, and guess what? If I wouldn't have got the vaccine, the COVID would have even been worse. Right. Listen to Clay Travis. He's a commentator, a conservative commentator. You've seen some of these scenes before school boards. This one's in Tennessee, but they're all over the country. People are just fed up. They are up in arms. They're talking to these school boards, and the school boards are full of communists, like this woman down in Norman, Oklahoma, who said that if an unmasked child goes to school, well, that child's going to be guilty of murder because he didn't wear a mask. I mean, these people have lost it. They can't even think straight. And what study can you put forward showing that if you get the double jab and you still get COVID, and I mean, you get it bad, what study is there saying that, well, but the COVID would have been so much worse had you not gotten the double jab? They're making it up, these people. They're making it up, and then they're shaming you if you don't get the jab. And then you've got the doctor on CNN saying that you should just go lower and lower and lower with the age. This is desperation. So many kids are being infected. This is propaganda, is what it is. Here's Clay Travis before this school board in Tennessee dropping a truth bomb on this, these administrators. Clip three.
Here's the truth. Our kids, under 25-year-olds, one in a million chance that they are going to die of COVID. They are more likely to be struck by lightning. They are more likely to be struck by lightning. They are more likely to die of the seasonal flu. Have any of you ever mandated masks for the seasonal flu? Well, shame on you, because every kid in Williamson County schools has been under more danger from the seasonal flu every year than they are for COVID. I would tell every parent here, don't let your kids wear masks.
Of course, the board members are there silent, fuming at what this man had the courage to say. And then look at the support behind him. Look at all the parents cheering for him. He turns to walk out of the room and some of them give him a standing ovation. Thank you. Thank you for stating what should be obvious, what should be common sense. But the authoritarians, you see, behind the desk, the authoritarians on the board, they will have none of it. Because they have been educated. They have been brought up with a good communist education in the communist education system. They've been brainwashed. And so it doesn't matter what the statistics say. It doesn't matter that children are as likely, perhaps more likely, to die from the flu than they are COVID. But you got to mask them up. Because that's what Dr. Wynn says over at CNN. You got to do it. Listen to Tucker Carlson from last night, clip 4.
But these are the people who now control your children's lives. Fake experts, fraudulent scientists, partisans in lab coats, people seeking terrifying levels of control over what was until recently a free country, people who are drunk with power, people who've lost all sense of proportion and restraint.
How much longer is he going to be able to? They won't even talk about Lindell or the election steal. That's a no-go. But outside of that, you know, Tucker's pretty solid. And you have to wonder how much longer before the thugs come after him? They're already coming after him. They're already going after his advertisers. He's exposing these fraudulent scientists. He's exposing these fake experts. There's just so much fakery, so much phoniness in this world today. And it's because of this communist attack. It's because of this communist infiltration. One prophesied by Herbert Armstrong. Going back to the 1940s, the 1950s, the 1960s, and now you've got Barack Obama carrying out his third term as president. No wonder he's dancing away. No wonder he's having a big maskless birthday bash. Nobody's going to accuse him of murder. He's the communist in chief. He can do whatever he wants. The rules are for the Trump supporters, certainly not for him. Certainly not for him and Jay-Z and Beyonce. Tucker made a pretty good point about him the other day, too. You know, the media for years telling us how much of an intellectual he was. And yet you look at who all comes to his big birthday bash, and it's all the teeny boppers and the 20-somethings from TikTok. It's all the celebrities. This nation, the United States, has come under attack. The sickness is from head to toe, my father says in this article. This is February, earlier this year. When God say, and only God can do it, only God can do it. It says, when God saves America from Barack Obama and the radical left, he's giving the nation one final opportunity to repent of sin and to turn to him. See, we've got to be careful even with respect to exposing the radical left, Barack Obama, these communists. We've got to be careful about just laying the blame on their shoulders alone, because, again, the sickness, Isaiah 1, it's head to toe. When God turns this around, it's only going to be for a short time, and it's just for the purpose of giving us one final opportunity to repent of sin and to turn to our God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. That's all that we have time for on today's show. If you want to send some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.